stand together and let's just give Him thanks for all of those times. Lord, we do. We take this Sunday evening as another opportunity. Oh, yes. Ah, yes, You've been good. This is more than our Pentecostal protocol, God. We truly have reasons to be giving You praise tonight. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank You, ladies, for reminding us of the many times that the Lord has blessed us and helped us. And as we often say, and we really don't go too far down this road, where would we be? And that's probably a futile attempt because, for one, we don't even want to think about it. And then if we even wanted to think about it, we really wouldn't find out or be able to figure it out. We're just satisfied with the truth that we're blessed. Whew. And I feel that. I feel that sense in you tonight. You know, one of the blessings of platform seating is to be able to see the sincere worship just unannounced, and it's not coerced, but just the pure, sincere worship of God's people saying, thank You, Jesus. Thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for Your goodness. If you will just remain standing, I'm going to read some verses of Scripture in just a moment. Communion serves various purposes. One, we remember what the Lord did, dying for us so that we could be forgiven, changed, and saved. And along with remembering, it gives us the opportunity, when we remember, to give thanks for what He has done for us. And so as we partake tonight, a little bit later, we're going to be remembering and thinking about Calvary. We have the depiction of a cross here behind us on the wall of our platform. It's a reminder. This service is a reminder. And then we're going to give thanks. But also, it's to serve as a symbolism of our desire to assimilate Jesus Christ, His life, His ministry, His behavior, His values into our lives, eating His bread, and the bread of His flesh, and drinking the blood symbolized by the juice that we use. The same way that we will literally eat the bread and drink the juice in a little while, God wants us to use that as an object lesson of how we can absorb into our life His life, His ministry, His values, the things that made Jesus, Jesus. When we come and partake tonight, we're going to be saying, Lord, I want to assimilate. I want to ingest and digest You so that You can be in every cell of my body and You can be in every function of my life. So we will commemorate that supreme act of Calvary, but it also serves to allow us to incorporate ourselves into ourselves the life and death of Jesus. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul gave the instructions to the church, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed — that little phrase has always interested me, because going through one of the darkest times of His life, yet that same night He gives a great spiritual lesson to the disciples. The same night He would be betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, broke that bread and said, take, eat. And then this is what He literally said. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner, and in other words, saying the same things similarly, He takes the cup, and when He had supped, He said, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This you should do And as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then John chapter 6 and verse 51. Jesus said, I am the living bread. So Paul is connecting from John chapter 6 here. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he's referring to himself, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give, that's my flesh, which I will give on Calvary for the life of the world. Now the Jews strove among themselves. They got upset, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They probably were meaning that practically. How are we going to eat Jesus' arm? But maybe bigger than that, because he was going to talk about flesh and blood. Maybe bigger than that, he had already been teaching, or the Jews had already been teaching, you're not supposed to drink blood. And they were opposed to any sort of cannibalism, so they didn't understand at first. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh. He just keeps saying this so straightforward. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You cannot have spiritual eternal life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has that life, eternal life. And I'm going to raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat or meal, and it is true meat. And my blood is drink or true drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me, or living according to the power of the Lord and the way he lived. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat the manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread, going to surpass what happened in the wilderness, shall live forever. Thank God for spiritual life and eternal life, and that we can take in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we already have done previously, and what we are going to do tonight. We're going to take in and assimilate Jesus Christ into our lives. Would you just begin to remember and begin to thank by thanking him right now? Lord, I want to thank you for Calvary and what it provided. I want to thank you for your intentions, some of which you just described to us in your word. Thank you for what you have intended for Calvary and for this remembrance of Calvary to be, and what you've intended and what your plan is for your spirit living and working and dwelling in our lives. We thank you for it now, and we want that to happen again tonight, because we do want to follow in your footsteps. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. So, along with the Jewish men and women, we ask, how do you obey the instructions of Jesus in John 6, eat my flesh and drink my blood? Now, some, in trying to figure this out, have incorrectly misinterpreted what Jesus was saying, and they formulated a doctrine and a belief called transubstantiation, which means there's a change in the substance of the elements that are used in the communion celebration. And they actually formulated a doctrine that says the bread and the juice or the wine are transferred or transformed into the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, they do not feel like it's the form. Flesh does not appear instead of bread, and blood does not appear instead of juice or wine on the table. It still looks like bread and still smells like juice. No change is perceptible to the human mind, But instead, what has changed, they believe, is the essence of that substance, the very nature. And they literally believe that as one receives it, it has become the flesh and the blood of Jesus Christ. And they feel like that's the way that God pours his salvation and his grace and his power into their lives. Of course, this is not what Jesus meant when he said, eat his flesh and drink his blood. But rather, his teaching was, take into our lives the way you take food into your body, take into your life my lifestyle. When we eat those morsels of bread tonight and we drink that juice tonight, we could hear Jesus saying, take in my values. I want my ministry, and Jesus was not stingy with that ministry, nor his values, nor his characteristics. He said, I want that to be in you. I want you to eat that in, my behavior, my principles, also the effects of what I will do at Calvary, my death and my burial and my resurrection. I want to make it possible, and he does, for us to take that into our lives. And we can appropriate what Jesus did in his lifetime and then in his death and in his resurrection. We can have these things in our life. We can experience his grace. We can experience a death of repentance. We can experience a burial by water baptism. We can experience new life by the Holy Ghost. And then we can live out the life of Christ. The plan of God is for everybody in this church and in any church that believes in him fully to live out his ministry. For all of us to display the characteristics that Jesus displayed, and for all of us to see the power and the manifestation that Jesus saw happen in his life. So when we eat the bread and we drink the juice, we partake in and we identify with Calvary. When we repent, we die out to sin and we change and we cease to be the person we used to be. Aren't you thankful for the change that can come in your life? And now this is the part that men and women do. This is our part here. God does the changing, but he leaves it up to us to say, I want to change. I want to walk the other way. I want to repent and die out and say no to sin and change and cease to be the person we once were. That's what happened. When you repented, you were eating the flesh of Jesus Christ. When you repented, you were taking in that death on Calvary, taking in the bread of his death or the death of his flesh. And his death means we do not have to die for our own sins. If there is anybody tonight that is fearful about the coming of the Lord and fearful about a coming eternity and judgment, you do not have to be fearful about that. You can repent of anything that is not like the Lord or that would keep you out of heaven. And we know that flesh and blood and sin cannot inherit heaven. But you can repent of that. You don't have to be afraid of the future or eternity. You can make the change. You can eat the bread of repentance. Eat the bread of his death. And his blood will cover our sins and his love will forgive our sins. And when we're baptized, the Bible says that's like identifying with his burial. We bury the old self. That's why there is such a change. The old self is buried. And we do it by burial in water. And when you bury somebody out there at the cemetery, you do not just sprinkle a few grains of dirt or dust on them. But we put them now, supposedly, 6 foot under. And so they are buried. And you cannot see what you once could see. That's what happens spiritually when we eat the bread of burial or baptism. This is eating his flesh, because in the flesh He was buried behind the rock and sealed in that tomb. And our old way of living is buried. Thank God for baptism. Thank God for the remission of sins. Thank God that our old way of living and our old life is gone and buried. And you are no longer the one that you used to be in sin, but were made new in Christ Jesus. And when we receive the Holy Ghost, we are taking on that change that happened when He resurrected out of that tomb that day. We take on the regeneration. We take on an empowerment. His resurrection means we have a new life. So we eat the bread, you could say, of resurrection, because that body came out of that tomb and He walked among them for some 40 or 50 days, showing Himself to them before He ascended into glory. For someone who has not as yet repented, been baptized, and received the Holy Ghost. In other words, you've not eaten the bread of repentance and baptism and tasted the wine of His Spirit. I encourage you, eat that bread and drink that wine. Taste and see, the psalmist said. Taste and see. Aren't you glad you tasted of repentance? I want to camp a little bit here on our experience in God. Aren't you thankful? You probably remember when you repented and you felt that release. I'm going to tell you, there's a release when you repent. It's about our consciousness and the way God made us. But when we say to the Lord, I'm sorry, and we feel the connection of His forgiveness, there's a weight that lifts off of us. Somebody needs to have a weight lifted off of them tonight. God doesn't intend for you to be burdened down and worried in your conscience. But you just repent and the Lord will take care of it. And you don't even have to do that publicly and out loud. You can do it right where you're seated right now. And when you mean it, God will mean His forgiveness. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And I would also say at this communion supper tonight, for all of us that have tasted the bread of repentance and baptism and the receiving of the Holy Ghost, you've already taken those steps, obeyed and assimilated those truths into your lives. We ought to thank Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you today, just try to be intentional. We'll have to be intentional to do this. But try every day to thank the Lord for the experience of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Can you remember the joy that you felt or the power that you felt that first night? I was about 10 or 11 years old and I knelt on a front pew right down here when Brother Scotty Teets got through preaching as our evangelist there at Northside Pentecostal Church. And I to this day, I don't know. I don't know if anybody kept track. I don't know how long I knelt there. It may have been 5 minutes or 15 minutes. But when I came out, it was like I was coming out of a stupor. It was like I'd lost all track of time. That's some of what God will do in our life. When we receive the baptism of His Spirit, we get lost in Him. We get buried in Him. And He comes into us and we go into Him, He said. So tonight, we can thank Him as we take this communion supper. The bread, according to Jesus, is symbolic of His flesh, His human nature, His life in the flesh, His experiences. In other words, that bread is symbolic of His lifestyle and His nature. And so to eat the bread of His flesh is to assimilate the nature of Christ. Very simply said in four words, to be like Him. When we take that bread and eat the bread of His flesh, one of the things that we are saying is, I want to be like You, Jesus. Because we're doing more. Now, we don't believe it becomes the actual body of the Lord. But we do believe it has all of the meaning that the Scripture says it means. That it is Him and His life that we are incorporating into our life. So we are saying we want to be like Him. I think we say that in many ways. And you wouldn't be here tonight. You wouldn't be here tonight if that wasn't one of your purposes and one of your life visions and goals. And Simon Peter described what becoming like him or absorbing him, his mind and his life and behavior looks like. And this is just one of the places. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, "For even hereunto were we called." This is what we were called to be like. "Because Christ also suffered for us. And while he was here in this flesh that we're going to eat, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, that we should take the same road Jesus took. He left behind an example for us to walk the road of being Christ-like." That's not too tough of an assignment. It's a tough assignment. To love like Jesus loved. To forgive like Jesus forgave. To talk like Jesus talked. It'll slip out. It'll come out, that frustration, that aggravation. We're all human. We all say things and we say, "I wish I wouldn't have said that. And I wish I wouldn't have said it in that way. Or I wish I didn't have the thoughts behind what I just said." But there's a road for us to walk. And it's not impossible to be Christ-like. It's not too hard to be Christ-like. In fact, he said, "Eat my flesh. Take in my nature, my lifestyle. To be like," we just sing that old song, "to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long." I want him to bring me back to that. "On earth I long to be like him." All through this life's journey. From earth to glory. The songwriter felt it so deep, they said, "I only ask to be like him." That's what eating his flesh and drinking his blood is about. To be like the Lord. If every one of us go out of here tonight endeavoring to be like the Lord, and I do believe it's possible. I do believe. I wouldn't want to waste your time or my breath preaching about something that wasn't possible. But we can do this, folks. We can do this, folks. And we need to help one another, and the Holy Ghost is going to help us, and then we need to help ourselves. Look at what he said. "Who did no sin, he steered clear of all sinfulness." Steer clear. If you see something like sin in your path, steer clear of it. Steer clear of, "He did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth." That word "found" is an interesting word. It means to search with scrutiny, to really look. But the more they looked, the less they could find. There was no guile after careful scrutiny. There was no guile, which means craftiness or trickery or trying to say it one way and mean something else. Hiding in hypocrisy, but there was no guile. That's eating his flesh. Oh God, let there be no guile in the mouth of APC. Let there be no guile, no matter what we're talking about or who we are talking about. As we eat, I feel the desire. And I feel the hunger in the hearts of people of wanting to be like the Lord and to eat the flesh of Jesus Christ. In other words, to take in his lifestyle. Here's the way we should live. Simon Peter said, he left us a trail to follow. And even though you may be scrutinized, and sometimes you may be scrutinized unfairly, let nothing be found like Joseph and Daniel of old. And then it says, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again." That word means hated, detested, loathed, berated openly and flagrantly. He did not retaliate. Oh, that's tough. He did not respond. Oh, that's tough. I'm preaching out of my humanity tonight, and I think I can preach out of yours too. It's tough not to respond when you are berated. When you are detested. Especially when it's open and it's flagrant. In fact, most of us, when we hear that done to somebody else that we love, we want to come out of the corner fighting. But it wasn't Jesus' way. It wasn't the flesh and the blood of Jesus. No matter the excuse, he could have had a thousand and one excuses. But he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, and he committed himself. He trusted God. He committed himself to him that judges right. Righteously. Just commit yourself. You cannot help in what's going on around you, but just commit yourself. Trust God. God will take care of this. I know that sounds very simplistic, because it is, but God will take care of it. God will take care of your reputation. You just live over it and you live above it. God will take care of us. Your righteousness. Commit yourself unto him that always judges right and righteously. The Lord wants us to eat the bread of his love. He said, walk in the love of Christ. Paul did. Many times it's talked about love. Here's what the bread of his love looks like and tastes like. It's the New Living Translation of 1 Corinthians 3. Love is patient. I'm choking on that. There may be a few smiles that are smiles of agreement right there. Don't you feel like it's just time for us to live this word out instead of just preaching it a time or two? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. That went down the wrong pipe. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood. It is not irritable. You mean about 11, God? After I've had a chance to wake up and drink coffee and love is not irritable. The bread of love keeps no record of being wronged. Does not rejoice about injustice or something going wrong in somebody's life, but rejoices whenever the truth prevails. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful. There's always a chance. There's always a shot. Give them another chance. Forgive them and go on. Don't throw up your hands or wipe your hands clean. Say, well, they did that too many times. Love never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. When you and I are identifying with him, as we take this bread of communion and drink the juice of his life, we are saying, I want to have his kind of love in me. I want to live out his kind of love. And Jesus said, when we do that, that's when the scripture will be fulfilled. By this shall all men know that they are my disciples. And when we eat this bread, not only are we taking on his nature, but church and everybody, I want you to hear me very carefully right now. We are internalizing and living out his ministry. God wants his ministry to continue through every one of us. Please do not get lost in the congregation as I make that statement, because God meant it for each one of us. He wants his ministry to flow through you. And there are many facets of that ministry. I'm just going to hit two of them tonight. Discipleship. Allow discipleship to become a part of you. Loving others. First of all, follow and identify with him and be a disciple and take up the cross. And he said, take it up daily. But then make and lead other disciples. Take the time to be interested in somebody else. Turn it from me to them. Make a disciple and lead them. And that doesn't necessarily mean at the beginning, especially opening a Bible. It may just be befriending somebody. Or living the life in front of them and offering a helping hand at a time of crisis or need. But make and lead other disciples. When we eat this bread and when we drink that juice, we are saying, Jesus, I want your ministry. I really believe if all of us could just talk together, just in a very private setting, or maybe a few of us in a group, there would probably be nobody that would say, that would resist the ministry of Jesus flowing through them. Sometimes we hesitate about that because we wonder, is it really possible? Would Jesus really allow that or want that? But folks, he does. He wants his love to flow through us. And then he wants the ministry, and the Lord's had us in this season for a good amount of time. He wants the supernatural and the miracles to flow through us. Jesus said, these signs shall follow. In other words, I'm okay, and I'm the one that said it, eat my flesh, take in what happened during my earthly fleshly life, take that in, and let that ministry of the miraculous, these signs shall follow them that believe. Allow the supernatural into your life and into your lifestyle. I pray that I could preach away, and I want to preach and pray for the next few seconds right now, that if there's any skepticism in your mind or doubt in your mind or feelings like I could never be or I could never do that, I resist that in the name of the Lord, because that's exactly what Jesus wants to have happen. He wants his power and his goodness to flow through you. And you won't take the credit for it. You won't take the glory for it. You're going to give that glory to God. I believe there are many people that are waiting for members that are seated right here tonight to speak a word of faith in their life. And then to pray a prayer of faith. And the miracle will happen. And they will call you back or contact you if it doesn't happen that very moment. They will tell you, I want to tell you what's happened. I just got to tell you. They may call it and they may say, the strangest thing happened. Well, what that strange thing was is the power and intervention of the Lord God Almighty that came as a result of the witness of the supernatural that came through you because you said, I want to eat that ministry of Jesus Christ. Eat and integrate a Jesus ministry to become a part of your mindset and your lifestyle. And as I said, there are many other facets. In fact, I just encourage you this week to think about the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ and get some of the points that I didn't touch tonight and say, I want that in my life. I want that in my life. Young people, you can have it. I thank God for you. I looked down there tonight and saw you, and I thought, I appreciate those young people. Give themselves to God. Keep doing it. God wants to flow through you, and he already is, and he already has. And this church is not going to put any age limit on the gifts of the Spirit and the laying on of hands. I know these young people love and respect the adults of this congregation and the elders of this congregation, and we're not going to put any cap on being used of the Lord either. Elders, be used of the Lord. Speak a word to us. Use your voice and speak a word to us. I want to loose you to speak a word and let the Jesus ministry flow through you. Words of wisdom and words of counsel that can come. When Paul was teaching about this kind of communion service that we're in tonight, he concluded in 1 Corinthians 11, with the verse that's labeled 28. He said, but let a man examine himself. Brothers and sisters, and everyone that partakes, Paul said, let a man examine himself. Introspection. Now, I believe he meant that this way, that we normally preach it and teach it. And it's good. And I would encourage us to do it. Examine for sin. Examine yourself. You know, it shouldn't have to be anybody else that puts a finger on us for our sin. It should be us, first of all. Now, that's more difficult. And it's okay if God uses somebody else to do that. But he said, examine yourself. For sin, error, and weakness. But I want to add this light to it tonight. Would you examine yourself to see? Am I really eating and assimilating in Jesus Christ, his lifestyle, his behavior, his love for others, his values, his ministry? And I believe in many cases it is already happening, but it never hurts to ask the question again. Am I ingesting and then digesting the ministry, the love, and the values? Am I allowing the life of Christ to be lived through me? Am I loving as Christ loved? Am I forgiving as Christ forgave? How about my treatment of others? Would Jesus treat them the way that I have been treating them? Am I living out his discipleship plan? And is the ministry of the power of God, the miraculous and the supernatural of Jesus, flowing through me? Examine. And then, I want to give you one other examination to make and to take. Examine yourself for the good and the blessings and the answer and the favor of God, and the progress that you have made in him. Not only examine for sin and error and wrong, do that. But examine yourself for the spiritual growth and the spiritual progress that you have made. And then as you're taking this communion service tonight, celebrate that. I think we ought to thank God when we feel and we sense I've made. You can do that without pride. The Lord's the one that's helped us to make that progress. I think we can do it in the right way, and I think we need to do it. Whenever we have seen some progress, maybe in your prayer life, or maybe in that treatment of others, or maybe in some other way, or your understanding of Scripture and the Word of God, just say, Lord, I see that in this examination, and I want to thank you for helping me do that. And I'm not going to stop there. I want to keep on making progress and keep on growing in you. Would you stand together with us, please? Let's sing, Chris.
Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Don't let me stay the same. For I want to be to
my senses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. We mean this, God. We come before you as a church. Come before you. Yes. Oh, sing it another time. Yes. Make this your personal altar right now. Oh, yes.